The BS Report is presented by Subway. Football season is over. Footlong season is just beginning. For a limited time, get any piled high regular footlong for just $5. Any footlong, just $5. Hurry in, Subway. Eat fresh. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound. Like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. All right, March Madness is upon us. I'm woefully unprepared this year, so I had to call our old friend Cousin Sal. Sal Iacono from Jimmy Kimmel Live on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. What is happening?
What's up, Bill?
I just saw you like 12 hours ago.
I know. Well, we were at the Clippers game last night. Clippers Nets, right?
Yeah, it was. And we brought I brought my daughter. You brought your son.
I think you've probably made this joke before, but it might be time for Child Protective Services to step in when on a school night we're taking our kids to see the Clippers. I mean, I think the Octomom is more responsible than that.
You think feeding your daughter cotton candy at 8:30 at night is a bad idea?
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
Do the books recommend against that?
Well,
yeah, it's pretty funny.
You have season tickets. My wife just screwed up. I told her for Valentine's Day. She's like, what do I get you? I'm like, let me and the boy go to a Lakers game. That'll be fun. He's never been before on a Sunday or something. And she buys me Clippers tickets because it was like $60 cheaper. I said, you don't realize what this is going to do to him for the rest of his life. And sure enough, he's hooked now on the Clippers. This is terrible.
And you bought him a T-shirt.
I got him a T-shirt, yeah, because they sell them. And you have to buy just about everything they sell.
But. Right. Yeah, it's funny when you go. The whole goal for 3 hours is just to basically keep your kid interested so there's not some sort of meltdown or embarrassing incident. So you're just basically giving them food, drinks, and gifts for 3 hours solid.
Right.
But
and the Clippers, I mean, as far as we're concerned, I had a gamble on it through a reputable wagering house to keep my interest. And even that, I was almost walking out down the aisle with the game, a one-point game with 12 seconds left.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So we had the Clippers plus two. I joined you for a partial piece of it. And somehow it came down. The Nets were up two. And then
with 4:20 left. I remember looking at the scoreboard. They were up 11, and we had a three in the air, too. So
the
things
Clips
were looking good.
The Clips were up 11.
Right.
And I was telling you, don't feel content with this because it's the Clippers, and they will blow this lead in the last 3 or 4 minutes, which they did. But we were set up with the scenario that never happens where you're getting two, you're probably going to lose by 3 or 4, but you need the other team to miss free throws. Then you need to make something happen, and all of it worked out, and Steve Novak won the game on a three.
Yeah, I mean,
which
Vince
we watched
Carter
on TV.
We haven't seen that Vince Carter in 10 years, like maybe even before his Carolina days. I don't know, but he couldn't miss, and they went up three with 12 seconds left, and it's like, well, we can't catch up here. And then
it was nice. It was our first double date with basketball double date with our kids. We won our bet.
It was good, and getting two, it was nice also because then the Nets were up one with 5 seconds left, and Novak puts that three in the air, and it's like, I don't care if this thing goes in. You know?
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get fouled and make one of three from the line and send us to overtime when they lose by seven. So.
Yeah, worst case scenario was him missing and then a technical foul on somebody arguing that he got fouled or something. Yeah, exactly. The best part, though, was with like 12 seconds left, we became those parents that instead of watching the game in our seats, we walked up to the top where the TVs were so we could watch the last play and then run out and beat everybody else out of the... So, that was a nice transformation for us.
That's Clipper fan mentality. What are you going to do?
He had a good time, though.
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm telling you, he's hooked. We're in a lot of trouble, I think.
What was his favorite part, the cheerleaders?
He did like the cheerleaders, throwing the cheerleaders in the air. And as you pointed out, they're good looking. They're better looking than the Laker girls, right?
Yeah, it's an upset. And as you, when we were talking about yesterday, you said how it's the same dynamic how the Hollywood Boulevard Hooters is actually the worst-looking collection of Hooters waitresses.
Yeah, right.
Whereas the Laker girls, you would think they would be the best-looking ones, but the Clipper girls are far superior.
Exactly. Exactly. By the way, I don't think they listen to your podcast, but I frequent that Hollywood Boulevard Hooters, and they're gonna those chicks are gonna spit in my wings for sure in the next month or so.
Well, no, your point was that.
Yeah.
It should be
better looking. It should be
the best looking. It should be like when you narrow it down to 13 contestants in American Idol, you would think the Hooters at Hollywood Boulevard would be the cream of the crop.
Exactly.
How many hours have you spent studying this NCAA
bracket? I've looked at the bracket for about 6 hours, and I don't think it's enough. What screws me up is that 4-1s made it last year, you know, and that.
Right.
I don't like doing that, but you know, then your eye naturally leads you to put Louisville in the Final Four, and like you know, Carolina and Pitt, and then maybe take an upset in the West or something. But
do you like to have a theme when you're going in? Like, do you think like, all right, this is a year where the top five teams are much better than everyone else, or this is a year where everyone can win, and I'm going to pick that way, or do you just do different brackets?
I think this is a year the three seeds could be as good as most of the one seeds. Like, you look at like a Villanova or a Syracuse or, who else is a three? You know, Kansas. I don't know why Kansas is so undervalued. I mean, for like 3 weeks straight, they were beating everyone. They were beating Oklahoma and killing Missouri in their conference, and they just and just like that, you know, they're a three seed and they're long odds to win if you happen to take the whole thing. And, you know, matched up against Louisville in the Grade Eight, I think they have a good shot.
So you're thinking that maybe it goes 12 deep with good teams?
Yeah, I think so. I think some of the threes are even better than some of the twos. Like,
How was Duke a two? I saw Duke and I thought it was one of the least talented Duke teams I'd seen.
Yeah, they've come on at a good time though. Really? Yeah, they're the Duke. You know that, you know, their hands are all over the place. They're stripping the ball, and then they have like a 10-point lead at half, and then you know, Krzyzewski's got them doing good things. But yeah, they always talked that they would be a one seed if everything worked out for them, and they had won the ACC tournament, which they did. So
really, I just don't get that.
Hey, I have winning the whole thing because I think everyone's just too high on.
Hold on, Joe, bleep that because. Sal just did the money shot, and we're right, like only one third of the way through the scene here.
Bleep it, go ahead.
Can you bleep out what his pick was?
I sure can.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, so let's go with Louisville's region first.
Okay.
Because for the record, you follow this stuff because you know you enjoy gambling.
Well, the thing is, after Gary Russell scored a touchdown, I think I was eating a brisket sandwich with you, and that was it. That was the last bite of food I took for the next month and a half, and I've just been watching college basketball. Not that I'm an expert by any means, but...
Yeah, you've wasted away. I mentioned that to you yesterday when I saw you. You looked like... Yeah. It was like Tom Hanks in Philadelphia. I was expecting the Bruce Springsteen song to come playing in the background as you walked toward me.
Well, Kelly Pavlik cost us some money a few months back, and I want to get down to his. I want to make him pay for it. I really do.
So what are you doing? Why aren't you doing Nutrisystem like Berman? Like
is that
the ads
what he does?
Stuff.
I haven't heard him talk about that.
Yeah, he does ads apparently. You're not eating bad food basically.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not really eating after 8:30, or not eating bad foods, and I'm boxing and skipping rope, and that's it.
This isn't the Sal I knew and loved and worked with. I can tell you that much.
I know.
But it's a healthier Sal.
Believe me, I'll get depressed sometime around May. That football's still 4 months away, and that'll be it.
All right, so we got the Louisville bracket. Utah's in this bracket. Utah State has the 26-year-old center. He's one of my favorite characters in the tournament.
You like that guy, right?
Yeah, I like when somebody's 26 playing against 18-year-olds, and we're supposed to be impressed by this.
I don't know. Yeah, but Louisville, they'll probably win. I think, you know, Ohio State, if they were to get that by that first game, this game is in Dayton, I think. So it is weird that the number one seed overall, Louisville, has to potentially go against Ohio State in their backyard in the second game, you know.
Well, what did they do? Did they put a lot of these teams close to home to try to boost ticket sales and stuff?
They tried to, yeah, but it didn't. I don't know that it worked out that way. I mean, I know Villanova is kind of home. I mean, they're a three seed, and they'll have their first two games at home, which is good. And then, like I said, Ohio State. But otherwise, they really couldn't because so many teams were from the East. It was hard to you know, give Memphis a break or someone like that. But
I'm going to nominate Louisville's bracket as the single weirdest bracket that I can remember ever. First of all, Siena's a 9 seed. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Cleveland State is involved. I thought their program had been banned like permanently after whatever scandal they had back in the 80s through the coach who did cocaine or whatever. Yeah. Kansas is playing North Dakota State, who's not even a 16 seed. They're a 14 seed. Didn't they just become a Division I school like 2 weeks ago?
I don't think it was very long ago. But here's what even scares me more about that. You know, all these teams are like 18-point favorites, all these 1, 2, 3 seeds. Kansas is a 10-point favorite.
Wow.
Oh, God, I'm dying to take that on the money line with anybody. But I'm nervous now that that's going to be the upset.
Then BC is playing USC.
That's a good
Which is like a nice old school matchup. I like that one.
Maybe the best first round game. Yeah.
And then Randolph-Morris, which has always perennially been one of my favorite schools because I like when colleges are named after people.
Randolph-Morris.
Randolph-Morris. So Robert Morris or Randolph Morris?
Yeah, Robert Morris.
Robert Morris. Who was Randolph Morris? He was the guy the Knicks drafted.
Yeah, he was somebody. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I like when schools are named after the full name of people. Like, it gives me hope there could be a Bill Simmons University someday.
Yeah, interesting.
All right, so you like Louisville or David Dark Horse?
I'll take Louisville out of the Midwest, but Kansas isn't really a dark horse. I'll tell you what, I think there's going to be a few. You laugh at those schools, but I think Cleveland State could beat Wake Forest and Siena could get past Ohio State. So I think those two. And I'll say Boston College is a mid-range possible grade eight team.
All right, so your underdog round one pick. And again, let the record show. You enjoy throwing a few bucks down every once in a while.
Oh, my God, and I lose it every time.
Yeah. Why aren't there game odds?
What do you mean?
On my site that I'm looking at. Oh, that's too bad. All right, so you like as an underdog pick, you're intrigued by, what was it, North Dakota State getting 10?
Well, yeah, just the plus 10. That line looks fishy, so I would take the plus 10. But as far as, like, upsets, Cleveland State could be Wake Forest, and Siena could topple Ohio State, although that line is short anyway.
So you like...
And take Boston College if you think for a mid-ranger.
So Cleveland State money line, and unfortunately my site's not giving me the money line odds. So that's probably like what plus 300.
Yeah, probably around there because the spread's 8.5. I didn't see the money line. Yeah, but that's
you know what could help your Cleveland theory.
What's that?
Well, my whole theory about when sports start to take off for a city, it happens in clumps. So here are the Cavs on pace for 65 wins, possibly number one seed throughout the finals. The Indians, people are starting to get a little bit excited about. Maybe the Browns, who knows, the new coach. Cleveland State could get the ball rolling here.
Mm-hmm.
A little upset,
right?
That could be nice.
And then in 2 years, they go to the Knicks.
Yes.
Something like that. Is that how it would work out?
They go in 2 years, they sign with, what would it be, St. John's?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It would be St. John's.
All right, let's go to the Pittsburgh bracket.
All right, that is, where are we? Oh, we're in the East.
By the way, it bothers me that Louisville's in the Big East. I have to say that every year. But if your conference name is the Big East,
yeah,
how do you have schools that aren't in the East?
That is kind of dumb.
It's just stupid.
It's like when the Arizona Cardinals were in the NFC East for so long, and they said, all right, we have to do something about this.
Well, the ACC has it, too. Like, BC is in the ACC, but the ACC is the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Right. Yeah, they don't really care anymore. I don't know why they made that shift.
Why not just, at this point, just sell the conference name to sponsors? And instead of calling it the Big East, call it, like, you know, the Subway.
Yeah.
The Subway Fresh Take Conference.
Well, they just should give Patino whatever he wants because it seems like what he's doing. Like, right? He's itching. They'll win it all this year, and then he'll move on somewhere, right?
I do feel, though, that they look too obvious to me. Everybody loves them, the Patino back in the limelight, all that stuff. When's the last time he made the Final Four, like, once? Since the Celtics?
Good-looking Italian guy, loud on the sidelines. I'll get you $6 million a year.
Well, supposedly his son, who's like 28, who's going for the BU job right now, is like Patino clone.
Really?
Patino Jr., yeah. All right, Pittsburgh bracket.
All right, well... I like Pittsburgh. Already our friend Brad is going at it with our friend Damashek because Brad's a Tennessee fan, and there's been an email. I should forward you the chain.
How's Brad a Tennessee fan?
Were you on it? I don't know. I think his uncle played football for Tennessee or something. It doesn't make
sure.
Any
sense. Sure.
But this is a good one, too. I mean, Florida State-Wisconsin's a good first round matchup. I have Pitt coming out of the East, though.
So basically, you have two number one seeds so far.
So far, but okay. I have I looked at that for like 45 minutes. Pitt Villanova, and I think Villanova could beat them like 4 to 10 times. But I pulled the trigger and had Pitt going.
What do you have for a double digit seed potentially winning and at least covering?
Well, somehow Wisconsin is a 12 seed over Florida State. But if you look at the line, where are they here? If you look at the line, they're not. They're not much of an underdog.
So, like, three-point underdog?
They're a four-point underdog.
Wow.
I mean, that's crazy that they're a 12 seed.
Well, it
just
seems
like to point out, Siena's a 9 seed, Tennessee's a 9 seed, and Wisconsin's a 12 seed.
Yeah, I mean, my college basketball season got ruined by the fact that I'm trying to finish this book, and I just missed watching a lot of having opinions on a lot of this stuff because I just missed it. So I've been trying to follow the big-picture opinions, and one of the big-picture opinions is that maybe none of these teams are that great. And when that's the case, usually the Big Ten schools somehow do well in the first two rounds.
Right. You know
what I mean? Because they're very fundamentally sound. They're physical. It's hard to. So when the talent kind of drops down a little bit, they're more effective, which makes me think Wisconsin as a 12 seed is a little bit interesting in round one.
Right. Definitely. But, I mean, don't you think if they're going to, and not that Siena's an at-large or anything, but if they're going to give some of these crappier conferences, you know, some credit, just still make them 11 seeds or higher. You know, you don't need to put the better teams of Wisconsin, make them an 8 or 9 seed. Like, you made your point with everything, you know.
You don't have to go overboard. Right.
Keep them lower. But I think you like VCU over UCLA, right?
Yeah, that's like one of the only games I have an opinion on. I've watched UCLA this year, and they just don't have it this year. They're not that good. And VCU has Maynard, who I've always liked. And they also have a guy named Larry Sanders.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to root for a team with Larry Sanders. I missed that show.
They have a Hank as an assistant coach. I'm with you taking the 6.5. But I thought that spread would be higher and we can maybe make some money on this.
Well, you know what bothers me is looking at how the bracket breaks down. Mm-hmm. Duke's got Binghamton and then the Texas-Minnesota winner. So you know they're in the finals, 16.
Yeah.
And then, you know, potentially if VCU beats UCLA, it could be Duke-Villanova. That's actually a nice game.
Do you call it the Final 16 and the Sweet Four? Because I've heard that a lot lately.
The Final 16 and the Sweet Four? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb.
I like VCU. And then, like I said, Villanova kind of has two home games. I think those are in Philadelphia, those first two games. So.
You know what I never, speaking of acronyms?
Yeah.
I never understood why we settled on Elite Eight instead of the Grade Eight.
Yeah, I always call it the Grade Eight. I don't.
Elite Eight somehow jumped ahead of Grade Eight, and I'm not sure why that happened.
Yeah, the double E, they don't even make the same sound, so what are you getting off of it? You're right.
And we also never came up with a two.
A what?
Well, we didn't like
for the finals?
Yeah, it's just at that point, we just agree that it's a championship game, but I like the terrible two or something.
Yeah.
And the 32 never really took off either.
No, the round of 32, they say.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so you like...
So who do you have in the East? I have Pittsburgh.
I kind of like Villanova. I don't know why. Unconventional.
I would go with that. Why not?
Because Pittsburgh... It's just hard for me to see them in a Final Four. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And I think it just... At this point, when you're making about brackets, it just comes down to really dumb intuitions and weird feelings over actual logic.
Villanova could give... They can give Duke a fit, too.
Yeah, I like that Villanova, you know, if Duke is the best team they're playing for three rounds, that's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, you know, who knows?
I'm trying to look at what Pittsburgh did to Villanova this year.
The Big East was really phenomenally amazing this year.
Yeah.
So if you're taking, like, if you're picking the fourth or fifth best team in the Big East, that's not as crazy as it seems in normal years, you know.
Yeah. Villanova beat Pitt by 10 at Villanova this year.
Let's go to the UConn bracket. I can tell you this much. I don't like UConn.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. So somebody weird's got to come out of here. Memphis, I mean, year after? I don't know.
Well, my team is Purdue.
Oh.
I like Purdue. They're the only Big Ten team that could break 50 consistently. And they have some good shooters. They're tough inside. I just like them. I think they knock off Connecticut, and I think they knock off Memphis, and you know, that'll place them in the Final Four.
It's funny you mention that because I watched the Purdue-Ohio State game yesterday and was very impressed by Purdue.
Yeah,
I thought they were good. Just solid team.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, this looks like, just staring at it, looks like a weird region to me.
Yeah.
A lot of strange teams. Memphis has a 2. And then who's the 3? Missouri?
Missouri's a 3. They were good for a while, and then, well, they ended up winning that tournament. They beat Baylor in the finals in the Big 12 tournament. But that could be a good game if it comes down to Missouri-Memphis. That could be really tough.
Where is – Baylor didn't make it, right?
No, they didn't make it. They had to win that last game.
Yeah, that would have been fun to have them, just so we could have rehashed the murder thing.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
One of the most depressing
stories. I don't think
that
didn't go through the tournament committee's mind.
So do you have a double-digit – cover?
I have Purdue. I think Utah State beats Marquette. Let me see what that spread is. See, that's only a 4-pointer, too. It's an 11 versus 6, but that's only a 4-pointer.
You know why? Because of the 26-year-old center.
Yeah, I guess
that
so.
That guy's experienced.
That's really not a bad one. I like that a lot. And I don't know. I don't like any – you know, like Mississippi State's a 13 seed against Washington. But if you look at the spread, it's low, right? Well, let me see where it is.
Yeah, I thought that one jumped out at me.
5.5. That shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Mississippi State. I saw one of their games this weekend, or at least a piece of it, and they seem pretty confident.
Yeah.
This is the kind of expert analysis I'm going to give you during this podcast.
I think Northern Iowa people are going to be interested in them, but I like Purdue going to the Final Four.
Were you surprised that Cornell was a 14 seed?
What do you mean? You think it should have been? Yeah, lower, seems, 15 or 16?
Seems high for an Ivy League.
Yeah, I don't know where any of these other. Well, there weren't too many 13-win teams winning, so they had to. They kind of. I think they had to rethink their rankings. So.
Okay, so you like Purdue.
Yeah.
And.
Purdue and Louisville on that side.
Okay, and then the last bracket, the UNC bracket. I hate calling it East, West, whatever geographical things. I just think it's easy to remember the number one seeds.
Yeah.
UNC. I'm not a fan.
Not a fan of Carolina.
Not a fan. Not a fan. I like, this is crazy, and they suck people in every year, and it bothers me that I'm even saying this, but I'm like wildly impressed by Gonzaga.
Really?
Yeah. I thought they were really good. I watched them a couple times because I've always enjoyed their conference. I thought Gonzaga St. Mary's was going to be a really good game, and I TiVo'd it, and they just murdered them. It was a massacre. They just seem like they're pretty deep. They have that Pargo's been there for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, they got to make it. At some point, they got to make a Final Four, right?
They do, but they're really ranked, you know, they're properly rated now with a 4 seed. You know, actually, they probably should have gotten a 3. So, And they're going to meet Carolina in the Grade 8, so, or a Sweet 16.
The Grade 8. Oh, the Sweet 16. No, it'd be the Grade 8 because it's a 1-4. Right?
It's 16. It'd be 16. They'll play.
But they'll play to get into the Grade 8.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I have Carolina going through this. Believe me, I wanted to pick an upset. And I have Western Kentucky beating Illinois, which seems like it should be a big upset. But I'm looking now, and it's like 4.5 points. And Syracuse losing Arizona State. And I think Oklahoma, if they get by, it's by the skin of their teeth. But Carolina, I think this is the weird thing with the ACC. Like, the team that wins the conference, you know, like, Duke is a hot team now, and then you just forget, and Carolina's just going to roll through everyone. So,
what about Oklahoma? You don't like them?
The Final Four team. I like them, like, fourth best out of anyone in that Big 12 conference. I think Kansas and Missouri make more noise than Oklahoma. And, you know, I don't know. I think even, like, Oklahoma State could do something there.
I was equally unimpressed. Do you have a high seed that you like in round one?
Well, like I said,
I mean, double digits.
I had Western Kentucky at 12, and I don't think Stephen F. Austin. There's another name for you that could get through. But I think Syracuse. Are they done playing Syracuse?
They're still going.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
If they get done playing in the next couple hours, I think they handle Stephen F. Austin. But
now, did you watch that game?
I watched the last two overtimes. So. That was not even the wife got into it. So did you watch it, right?
I was in about my buddy House emailed me about I don't know about a minute into the second overtime, and I was in from there. Here's the thing: it wasn't well played. It was very, very, very unbelievably exciting, and I was riveted.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really poorly played for the most part. I mean, it's bad basketball. It bothered me that people were wondering where this ranked among the greatest games ever.
Yeah, it just so happened that they had the same score after every 5-minute interval. But yeah, you're right. There was a lot of laziness, it seemed, going on.
I mean, how many layups did that one guy on Syracuse miss? At least 20.
And
layups that would have put the game away, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Hey, by the way, Purdue to win that region.
Yeah.
6-1.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, I have my final four, but I'll tell you, there are some long shots I think are worth looking into. And now I can't find where I wrote it down. I think like Duke at 15-1 to win the whole thing, Kansas at 35-1, and Villanova at 25-1 are the medium range long shots that are worth taking to win it all.
I'm very intrigued by Villanova at 25-1.
Take that. Take it.
What's Cornell?
Cornell, I didn't look.
Why not? Cornell's 300-1 just to win that bracket.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to put down a few dollars through me, I will be sure to put that in.
So you have, read me your final four again.
I have Louisville, Purdue, Pitt, and North Carolina. Not very sexy, but I have Louisville winning, beating Purdue, and then Carolina beating Pitt, and then Carolina beating Louisville, 77-69.
Okay.
Cut down the net.
I'm not making a pick yet because I haven't done all my research yet. I like to go out to lunch with the Monday USA Today for like 3 hours and read all the little capsules like everybody else does.
All right.
And glean little weird information from it.
Well, I haven't had lunch in 10 weeks, but that does sound nice.
Hey, two quick things, and then we'll let you go. Mm. Your buddy Archie, your son, he said that Brad looks like Chris Kamen.
Our friend Brad, yeah.
Have you told Brad this yet?
No, I don't know how to break it to him yet. I don't know. Maybe I need to take him to dinner separately or something. I mean, it could get bad. I mean, you know how angry he gets.
It wasn't even like he said, this guy kind of looks like Brad. He was pointing at him and saying, that guy looks like Brad. He was like very happy about it.
Little does he know, when Brad plays basketball, just minutes in, he has a bloody nose and a separated shoulder and everything like that. I mean, Kamen misses layups like no one's business, sure, but not the same player as Brad.
All right, Joe Mead, turn your mic on.
All right.
Sal, talk Joe Mead out of the Terrell Owens era.
What happened? What do you mean?
He signed with Joe Mead's Buffalo Bills.
Oh, really?
Following football anymore?
That's funny. No, I didn't know. No, all really was I didn't know you were a Buffalo Bills fan. But it's funny because when I found out he was gone, I emailed a couple of my friends in Buffalo. I'm like, I'm so sorry I heard you got cancer. Let me know if there's anything I could do. And neither of them like knew what I was I guess I should have said, let me know let me or anyone in the Cowboys organization know if there's anything we could do. And they were like, why would you spread a rumor like that? That's terrible. I'm like, no, I'm not talking about real cancer. I'm talking about Terrell Owens cancer, which is worse. But Bills fans, like, I don't know if Joe, are you the same way? Like, Bills fans to me are like, well, we haven't made the playoffs in forever, so what does it matter? But it's way worse having a team that doesn't make the playoffs and has Terrell Owens on the team, right? Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Joe makes a good point. In the last 10 years, since the one Flutie year, mm-hmm. there's been like only one memorable Bills team, which was that year when they started out with Bledsoe and Malloy and they beat the Pats 31-0 and people were like, hey, the Bills. And it kind of sort of happened this year, but not really. But really, if you look back and you're like, all right, let's name all the Buffalo seasons off the top of our head last 10 years, it would just kind of be this blank. You wouldn't really remember anything. So at least this year, now you have an identity. Hey, this was the Terrell Owens season.
I don't know, man. I think, there is something to that. But honestly, and I'm not even lying, the Cowboys could go 7-9 this year without Terrell Owens, and I'll be much better than I was last year at this time because he is such a mess. And I stayed with him until about 4 weeks before the regular season ended this year. I mean, I really was like, oh, he's not that bad. But let me tell you something, Bills fans, you better get with Al Gore because this global warming really needs to take effect in Buffalo. He's going to have 65 drops this year at Rich Stadium, whatever they call it now in Buffalo. Ralph Wilson, that's what they do.
Well, do you think he'll respect Trent Edwards coming out of the gate?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to love Trent Edwards. Didn't Trent Edwards, like, push for this?
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I mean, to me, it's like the teams that go deep. All right, the Cardinals are an exception to the rule, but every January, look at the Ravens and the Eagles and teams like that, and they have very average receivers. Even the Steelers have average receivers. You know, let's admit it here. And you play defense and run the ball, and that's how you're good. Now with a big mouth, it's going to terrorize the locker room.
It's really going to be fascinating, though. I mean, as a sports fan, it's probably my favorite potential team that he could have signed with.
Really?
To put that guy in Buffalo, Buffalo and Green Bay, the two most pure football places on the earth.
Yeah.
Where the fans, they show up, they're tailgating 10 hours before the game, and they're like fans.
Mm-hmm.
And to put Owens in this mix is fantastic.
Don't forget Toronto, also pure football. Not wanting to make the trip to Toronto for some stupid reason, and then they're without him for a week.
That was like a kick in the groin for Joe.
T.O. mentioned Toronto in his press conference. He's like, I'm moving to North America's team.
Nice.
That was his little shout-out to the Toronto deal. Yeah.
God, he's so crazy.
People were making fun of him for that because they're like, well, everywhere is North America, but I think he was making the suggestion about the Toronto deal.
Well, it's cheaper to shoot his reality show in Canada, so that'll be good. By the way, which is what I think did him in. I really think Jerry Jones, who was really the only holdout, I mean, his Stephen Jones and the son and everyone in the organization wanted Owens out of there, from what I hear. And
yeah.
I think once the reality show came up, I think Jerry Jones said, all right, that's enough. We got to get him loose.
Well, he's starting to emulate the Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
After the third Bulls title, when he was available, and I think maybe it was the Lakers that took a chance on him or the Mavericks. I can't remember.
But
it just spiraled out of control very, very quickly, and I see the same thing happening.
And he's going to drop a pass and turn to poor Joe and kick him in the groin, just like Dennis Rodman did.
Where do you think he goes in our fantasy draft?
We were talking about this. I think early fourth round. I think like 32nd overall or something.
Ooh, I think that's too early.
Too early even, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Who are you taking number one in our draft if you had number one pick?
I shouldn't even tell you this.
Stammering.
I don't even know what I want to tell you. I guess it's too early to hold back here.
I take Peterson.
Yeah, I guess you have to. I go Peterson to Westbrook, but LT definitely falls to the second round or end of the first.
I think LT falls third round.
Here's the thing. You have the third pick overall, and Michael Turner is the way to go. Are you going to take him? Is that really who you want there?
You can't.
No.
Where does Brady go?
I say top 10 again.
I think so, too.
Yeah, put him at like 6 or 7.
He's filming Entourage cameos. He's back.
You love
so
it.
So back. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, he's on the golf course with Johnny Drama. It's just the kind of focus I'm looking for.
I can't wait. We're only like 20 weeks away. It's so close.
Yeah, it's starting to get close. After once baseball season kicks in, then all of a sudden the draft's here. And
yeah,
you start to get close. How are you feeling about the Mets?
Well, this is the best time of year to root for them. So
why? Because of the World Baseball Classic?
Yeah, the World Baseball Classic's in full swing. I don't know. I just wish the Phillies would go away, but the Tatis Daniel Murphy platoon in left still bothers me. But I can't complain. We got the arms going. And
how about Johan?
If he's only pushed to the end of the first week for the first start, I think we're all right. 21 wins this year.
Okay.
What do you say? You're going Royals? You went Royals and Chiefs?
Just
right?
As a long shot. Just as long shot bets.
No, you said they're winning the whole thing, definitely, no doubt.
Well, I do. The money to be made, I think, if you're going to bet on baseball, is the AL West, because Seattle is a mess, as always. Although people kind of think they could do the Royals thing where they have a lot of young guys. But Texas, no pitching for the umpteenth year.
Right.
And then Oakland has this thing now where they basically announced they're moving. We're going to go. We're going to leave. We're going to go to North Carolina. We'll see you later. So they're going to have no crowds at all. That's going to be the most depressing situation in the league.
Interesting.
It just seems like Anaheim, even with the Santana injury, the odds of Anaheim not winning that division, I just can't possibly see it.
Yeah. Anaheim and I think the Cubs in the NL Central there.
Well, wait, before the season, when's the season start?
We have to make a couple of these because we do all right with the basketball ones. So
yeah, we did. Well, no, but we should come on and we'll pick a home run prop and
for sure
we'll do a couple of those. All right, we'll talk to you then.
Sure.
Good luck with your bracket.
All right, buddy. Talk
Bye,
to you
soon. Just to follow up on that last Angels point, I just looked it up. The Angels are 1-2 to win the AL West. So you bet 200 to 100. Not great odds. I can't imagine any scenario that they don't win the AL West. All right, so we have somebody coming tomorrow. I can't remember who. And then Wednesday, Joe House and I are going to do the BS Report bracket, the first annual. We're going to walk through the whole bracket, make our picks, go on the record. This actually worked pretty well for NBA over-unders in November. So we're going to try that. Until then, the BS Report.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
And that concludes another episode of the BS Report. And here's 55 more words that Bill Simmons intended to mention, but unfortunately ran out of time. Now you can get any regular piled-high Subway footlong for just $5. The keyword is any. The sweet onion chicken teriyaki, savory chicken and bacon ranch, the meaty, taste-bud-pleasing Italian BMT. All the regular famous Subway footlongs, just $5. Subway, eat fresh. See store for details.